Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. It is August 25th, and we are in the building today, Atlanta, Georgia. In the house tonight, we got my boy JoJo. He's sitting in because my other co-host decided they want to drop out and do some other things, talking about they got shows and stuff like that. So what are they, comedians? It's the Kino Tri Show. But I'm really excited because we got a very special guest all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. We have Carla the Truth Youngblood in the building. How you doing today, Carla?
Carla's doing very well today. How you doing, Keno?
Oh, I'm good. It's sunny outside. All my bills is paid. I ain't got no baby mamas calling me looking for their child support. It is a great day. It's a great day. My boy JoJo's over here starting with the libations early, so I just want to warn the people out there, if you hear him slurring in a few minutes, you know he's...
Seriously, you put the drink in front of me. What was I supposed to do? Let the ice melt?
you ain't supposed to. And that's some good stuff, too, man. You don't waste that. I just want to say for the people listening online, if you want to call in and talk on the Kino Tri Show, we're going to get into some good topics today. If you want to chime in, the number is 607-203-5368. And make sure you press 1 if you want to talk. You can just call in and listen on your phone. But if you want to talk, press 1, and I can see the indicator that you want to speak and say something. So don't be a knucklehead. Just follow directions. Some people sit there, I called, no one to talk, but you didn't press 1. But it's all good. We're in Atlanta, man. I just want to give a shout-out to the Falcons, man. The Falcons got another losing season coming as long as they have Matt Ryan at quarterback. Yes, I am a Falcons hater.
Consistently hating on my boy. One of these days, we're going to show you. One of these years.
No, it's crazy. You watch football?
I watch football, but since Birmingham, Alabama don't have anything, I pull for anybody I can. Yeah. And the Falcons are the closest thing to me, so I have to pull for the Falcons.
You know what?
And they're good.
You know what? I'll say this. I am not a Matt Ryan fan. I was excited about him when he first came to Atlanta, but I think he peaked about his third year. And that season they went 13-3, had a bye in the first round of playoffs, and your boy from Green Bay came down here and dismantled them. Shout out to Aaron Rodgers. I was at that game. Halftime, people were leaving, and you know I had the cheap seat, so I got to move down. That was good.
Yeah, it's just part of the Atlanta curse. All of our teams do it.
Well, it's because we've got the bandwagon fans, man. The fans don't even show up till damn near halftime, so it's hard to get them there. Same with the Hawks. But I like the Hawks. The Hawks had a good season last year. They didn't re-sign their best player, but that's all right. We'll hope. Dream and pray.
That's it. It's going to take all that.
But, you know, it's good. I'm here in Atlanta. I'm trying to represent, and I'm trying to support the team. And Arthur Blank's trying to price all the people out of the stadium. I don't know if you've heard down in Alabama, but with the new stadium they're building, they have those personal seat licenses, a.k.a. PSL. And you will pay anywhere from $2,500 to $15,000. Just for the personal seat license. That has nothing to do with the tickets.
What?
Yes, nothing to do with the tickets. And my uncle from California came here. He actually went to the playoff game where I saw Aaron Rodgers destroy the Falcons. And he said this was the only NFL that he saw a majority of black people. Around the country, you'll go to games. And Arthur Blank priced these hardworking black people out. So... shout out to Arthur Blank.
Yeah, he'll learn. He'll learn his
best. If those seats are blank, he'll learn.
Right, right. And if they're not winning, yeah, you, like you said, Atlanta has a bunch of fair weather fans in every sport category. So, yeah, if they're not winning, those prices will come down. And even if they are, those prices may still come down.
Well, all the corporations typically buy up those seats and stuff like that. So I think they're banking on that. I mean, you have some big companies come here. Mercedes-Benz came here recently. I think Porsche built a new facility somewhere in the Atlanta area. So
I actually heard that Mercedes-Benz has gotten the rights to the stadium.
Yes, Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Okay.
He's like, I don't need y'all black folks no more.
20-year contract.
Like, I don't need y'all dancing and stomping outside the game, because initially they cut off tailgating. So that's what we do. We drink, grill some meat. But I think they revisited the idea and thought it was a bad idea. So I heard they're going to keep the tailgating. I'm not going down there because I might get shot, but it's cool.
That would be sad, actually, because I've been tailgating to an Atlanta Falcons game, and it's an enjoyable time. It's really fun.
It is fun.
So it's not dangerous? Is it safe?
It just depends, because they had tailgating. It was like this little sketchy bridge kind of behind the dome. And
you mean the one where people go and they actually watch the game outside of the dome?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's like in the cut, like a bridge, and people set up. And when the night starts to fall, it gets kind of dark around that bridge. I was like, nah, it's time to move a little closer to where the lights are.
Okay.
So, yeah. And because there's a MARTA station right down there across the street. And you know, with any train station, there's going to be a few
extras.
Let me holler at you for a minute. Yo, check this out.
You know, you and I both know if that train station wasn't there, it'd still be an unsafe.
No, you can't just blame it on the train station.
No, you can't blame that on the train station.
So, in Birmingham, what do you do for fun? I was recently in Birmingham a few weeks ago. Me and my wife came down there. We hung out with Carla, and she took us to a great, great soul food restaurant. And I can't remember the name. What is it? Nicky's West?
Nicky's West, that's it.
Shout out to Nicky's West. When I come back to Birmingham, I'm definitely going. But what do you do in Birmingham?
Listen, it's far and few in between. Mainly what you do is leave Birmingham. You work during the weekend. On the weekend, you jet. You find somewhere to go to do something. It's interesting. What we have in Birmingham, they kind of pack it all in one weekend.
Yeah.
So it's just not a lot going on in Birmingham. They're trying, but it's got a lot of work to do.
Because when I was down there, they had the Jill Scott concert going on.
Uh-huh.
They had the Roots in Common. Was that some kind of park or something?
Yeah, they had it's called Summerfest.
Summerfest.
And they're in the park.
Yes, they're in the park. And I heard that it's put on by optometrist?
Yes, Schaefer.
Schaefer Optometrist.
Yes.
And he owns like 15
locations in Birmingham. Oh, he is the man in Birmingham.
So he's rich.
That's it. Bottom line. That says it all.
Does it take much to be rich in Birmingham?
yeah.
It takes a little bit. Actually, the hotel we stayed at the Westin, which is fairly new.
Yeah, one of the new hotels.
It's down by the Civic Center, actually where the concert was. And there were a lot of celebrities in the hotel. We got to hang out with the Roots. And I don't know the guy's name, but he played Doogie Howser, the white guy.
Oh, really? He was here?
Yeah, he was there. He was in the elevator, and he was hugged up with his boo.
Okay.
Which happened to be another guy, but it's cool.
But that was his boo.
Yeah. And my wife asked him to take a picture, but he didn't want no part of that. So my wife was like, maybe you should have asked him. And I was like, nah. I didn't even know who he was till after he was like, nah, I'm not down. It's late. Like, he was like, it's late.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, I don't want to hug up with any black folks on the elevator. Huh. Not what I'm trying to do in Birmingham. So it was cool, though. I have a good time every time I come down to Birmingham. So shout out to Birmingham. When we going back, JoJo?
You know what? I don't know, but I'm long overdue for a trip to Birmingham. I want some moonshine.
Oh, come on now. Wait a minute. Y'all got some moonshine over here in Atlanta somewhere now.
No, not like they have in Birmingham.
Well, now, sure ain't like it is in Birmingham. Now, you're right about that.
Yeah, that moonshine in Birmingham smell like hot bread.
It's the real deal.
Yeah,
it's the real deal. You set it on fire, it burns blue.
That's propane. Hank Hill from King of the Hill. Bobby, get out of my propane.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, that was a terrible invitation.
Let me ask y'all, have y'all ever been to the Magic City Classic?
No, but what is the Magic City Classic?
The Magic City Classic is the largest black tailgate in the United States.
Really?
Really?
It is. Alabama A&M and Alabama State. The last weekend in October, every year, you need to come through. You will not believe it. It's just as many fans outside as it is inside. The
really?
Game is on Saturday. People start showing up on Wednesday.
Wow.
I've been to the foot wash.
Listen, listen, I wash my feet at home. Listen, the last I heard at the foot wash, you can go and buy anything you want down there, and I mean anything.
You can buy anything you want at the foot wash.
PlayStation. Yeah, all of that.
Marijuana.
And that's all in the same little cubby hole.
Yeah. One kiosk.
Exactly.
I heard about foot wash, and I think I was supposed to go with you 1 year, but it didn't work out, so... What do you know about the foot wash?
Listen, it's been years since I've been to the foot wash, and that speaks of, in itself of it. That speaks in itself of it, but they say it's a huge event. People down there just doing, you name it, they're doing it.
Are there entertainers coming?
No, I don't think entertainers are down there.
So what, they just hang
just
out?
Just a bunch of folks get on the bus, and they drive down there, because you don't want to drive. You're going to get stopped if you drive. So everybody take bus trips down to the... foot wash, and you go and you hang out and you drink, you party, and you buy and you sell, and you sell and you buy, and you come on back home.
When I went, we camped out. We were there for 2 nights.
See? Exactly.
So is what people sell products like, you know...
people sell everything.
Like
if you
jewelry.
Want to comp, if you want it straight out of Compton, you can get it right now.
You probably could have got it last year.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and it still goes on. Is it a dangerous event? Because I don't really.
It's not really. At least it wasn't when I went. Because whoever throws the foot wash, they've got people there that stand around with really big guns.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. They stand around with
so
really big
like
guns.
Police,
you know.
They kind of like police themselves.
Exactly.
Okay, so you don't want to go down there messing up.
No, you definitely want to mess up.
No, you don't.
You don't want to mess up.
Good old country boys put you in your place.
Yes, they will.
Come down here acting up. That's cool. We're going to go to the foot wash. But you said the end of October.
The last weekend
the
in October is the Magic City Classic. Alabama A&M, Alabama State. It's the largest tailgate in the United States right now. Black.
Oh, when she said Magic City at first, I was like, oh, they're importing strippers down there?
No. Right. Birmingham is the Magic City.
I live 10 minutes from Magic City.
Right. Not that one, not that one. We're talking about the entire city now.
Oh, are there strip clubs in Birmingham?
Yes. There's some strip clubs in Birmingham.
Have you been there?
I went to one, and I must say, them some lazy. I'm thinking, why do men come here?
They can get a table
down
while they sitting down.
Listen, they were in there on their cell phone. I'm telling you, butt tooted in the air, and they face down on the cell phone.
You don't get your ass up in shape for this money.
And they didn't get any money, so I don't know why they go.
Wow.
It was awful.
Wow. I don't know what I would, a strip club in Birmingham, I don't know that I would want to go. I don't know. Being from Atlanta, it's like...
Well, see, and that's just the only one I went to, so I can't speak for all of them. I have no idea. They may have some good ones. I don't know. If you out there in Birmingham and you're listening, call and represent. If you want to tell us about them strip clubs.
Yeah, tell us about because
I can't speak on it.
And you know, some of those strip clubs...
Appendectomy scars.
Some people like that, though.
Yeah.
You know, I hear about Claremont Lounge all the time. Never been, but I've heard about
it. Man, I got to go to Claremont Lounge last year for the first time. Have you heard about the Claremont Lounge?
No, I never heard of that.
Well, it's in Atlanta. It's like a nostalgic thing. Like, it's the party spot. Like, you go, and it's packed. Like, they have ballet, big boy rides. But when I say the strippers, if you can picture your grandma being on stage and... shaking what her mama gave her. I think I've seen one lady on stage with a cane. That's where strippers go to die.
In other words, they're on their last leg.
Yeah, on the last leg. And it was sad, but I couldn't help but stare. Like, she's really up there. Like, I mean, the women are, you know, 50 plus, 60 years old. Yeah. And
really?
Yeah, boobs out. Up there, and they're not really, you know, they ain't twerking or nothing. They're kind of doing that that old like white girl swing side to side thing because they can't really do much.
Okay.
I'm sure they ain't got health insurance, so you don't want to be up there breaking a hip or nothing. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
Are the poles cut in half so they can brace themselves?
Like them orthopedic bathrooms.
Well, let me ask you this: do a lot of men go there?
Yeah, a lot of men and women. Yeah, it's the party spot.
It's literally a stripper institute, if you will.
Yeah.
For 20 years, people have been telling me you have to go to Claremont Lounge. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, it's filthy in there though. Don't sit on the toilet. Don't do nothing. You're gonna need a tetanus shot after you leave.
But it's a good party.
Like, when I say, and...
Come on, man. You done been in there. Tell it.
I've never been.
Tell it.
I've never been.
When I say, you know, kind of party where people got their hands in the air. Like,
yeah.
I mean, DJ Rock, yeah. You know, you got Betty May up on stage.
Well, maybe they don't go for Betty May, then. They just go for the party.
Yeah.
Just good hangout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ain't nobody there making it rain. Nobody.
It's not like strokers.
Yeah, it ain't making it rain. You just fly Granny a $10 bill and say, you know, you ain't got to shake none. I just want to help you out. It's either that or greet at Walmart. So you know you
take your pick.
Yeah, take your pick. I'm doing my part to help out the elderly. But yeah, it's Claremont Lounge.
Can't speak on it.
They're renovating it because there's a lot of new development coming through downtown, and there's actually a hotel upstairs. And investors coming through. They're going to renovate the hotel. They're going to make the club downstairs nicer. So it's going to remain, and it's going to remain one of those things. It just, you know, maybe 2-3 years from now, it'd just be a nicer place. But you know,
so they're not upgrading the women.
No,
just the club.
Just the facility.
Knee-high pantyhose. You know, she got somewhere clean to sit.
She can sit and not squat.
Yeah, so that's how it goes. So this is a good time to take a break, man. We're going to take a little break. If you want to call in, man, the number is 607-203-5368. And make sure you press 1. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Keno Trice Show.
It's been a long time. Long time. We shouldn't have left you without a dope beat. Step 2.
Yes, we are back from our break. Listen to Aaliyah, dust yourself off and try again. And I say that to my wife every time she puts me down. I'm going to dust myself off and try again, baby. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
But we're back in the studio with Carla, the Truth Youngblood out of Birmingham. You brought me down to do a show last year. You down there in Birmingham putting on comedy shows. How's that going for you?
It's coming along well. I've located another venue where I'm pulling the shows off now, and I'm doing what we call the Ha Ha Hilarious Comedy Show.
The Ha Ha Hilarious. Well, I just saw something where you were on something called Pennies to Nickels, or Nickels to Pennies.
I think they're called Nickels. Oh, you're going to make me say something wrong in a minute.
You don't have to. I saw your face.
But, yeah, but I'm going to headline a show September the 5th for them.
Okay, and that's because you won a contest, right?
No, they just...
Oh.
That's just because I'm good. No, they just put me on that show.
Okay, that's cool.
But I'm running the Hilarious Comedy Show, and only thing, I do them on Tuesdays, so I got to figure out how I'm going to get you back down there.
Oh,
and you're doing your thing on Tuesdays.
I'll make it happen.
You'll make it happen, okay.
I'll make it happen. So, you know, we can take a break here. You know, I just had to push the show back a day or something.
Okay, I'm running the Hilarious on Tuesday, and then this will be my third show for this Hilarious event.
Okay.
I've been doing it once a month, and we're selling them out.
Oh, yeah, because when I came and did your show, I think it was like maybe, was it October?
Something like
that. Yeah, you had a nice crowd. They was ready to go.
That was part of my two live crew.
Yeah,
they're a little too live.
If they was on that Napa train, they would have got kicked off.
Exactly.
Laughing while black.
Yeah, they would have got escorted off, for sure.
But they were great. I mean, I was supposed to do 30 minutes. They heckled me for 20. But
exactly.
It was all good though. It was a fun time. So I enjoyed the show. We had a few technical difficulties, but we worked it out. We got through it. So it's all good. So you do the show once a month. Do you have any plans on increasing how often you do shows, or is there enough talent to pull from down?
I kind of don't want to just use only the Birmingham people. I want to kind of pull in people from other areas to do the show.
Yeah.
I want to use, I do a mixture. I want to use some of the new ones that's coming about that's been working at all the open mics. So I'm pulling them in. Then I'm pulling in headliners from other places to come in and do the show.
So what kind of open mic opportunities do you have in Birmingham? Is it a lot?
It's pretty much limited. We have the one comedy club there, and they do open mics sometime twice a month. Don't you say it, JoJo. Yeah, he said, don't you say it.
I got nothing.
Yeah,
he looked like he ripped. Go ahead. It's in Alabama. Go ahead.
No, I got nothing.
All right.
I know about the start off.
That's it. That's all we got.
Well, Atlanta's comedy clubs are closing down. I mean, we had the Punchline closed down.
Right.
JoJo worked there for, what, 9, 10 years?
9 years.
So they closed down. We got the Atlanta Improv. There's a rumor that they'll be closing down soon because somebody brought the property. We had Legends Theater, which is in Norcross, Georgia.
Okay.
And they were only open for a little while. Yeah. It was a beautiful venue. And
they opened and closed so fast.
Yeah. Grand opening?
I thought that was the joke.
the crazy thing, what I heard about Legends is that it was poorly managed.
Okay.
And I think they believe that, from what I was told, I don't know this to be a fact, I only got to perform there once. But from what I was told, that they leaned on the comedy to be the revenue source, but that's not really the revenue source. The comedy clubs is the drinks and the food.
Exactly.
They were getting that wrong. Like, it was a black club, and I heard a lot of times they was running out of wings. You do not run out of chicken wings at a black club.
Let me tell you.
Don't do it.
I worked at the Punchline for 9 years. If we had a black show, chicken still ran out.
So I mean, if that's your bread and butter, you out of wings, like, you know, you would have those uptown comics there, most black comics. So three things you gotta have.
Okay.
You gotta have chicken wings.
Johnny Moscato.
Yes, sir. You forgot about the Cavassier.
No, the Cavassier. That's for the sophisticated.
Sophisticated. Otherwise, just got to have some cognac in the house.
Yeah, but all just for that, I heard that that's kind of what drove him in the ground. So,
I don't think that's unique to that comedy club, though, because I've been to other comedy clubs, and it seems to me that they want the comedian to be the draw. And my perspective is, if people get into the, you know, if they get the impression that when they go to the comedy club, they're going to laugh, then it won't matter who's there.
Right.
Because people go to a comedy club to laugh. Now, you know, obviously you've got your comedians, your Kevin Hart, your Gabriel Iglesias, your George Lopez. They're going to sell out the place
right.
in no time. But you've got other comedians, a lot of other comedians out there that are really funny that people have never seen. And if they understand that, hey, if I go to this show, there's going to be somebody that I'm going to laugh at and I'm going to have a good time, then it won't matter who's there.
Yeah, true.
I agree with that. Yeah, you just know going out to laugh, and that's the thing I'm trying to get to in Birmingham. Like I said, we only have that actually one club. So I'm trying to put on shows so we can bring in other people. And my thing is, they think, okay, if it's a ha-ha hilarious comedy show, I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
That, you know, they don't even ask me, because sometimes I just put out there, call the truth and friends.
Yeah.
They don't even know who's coming.
Yeah.
And they're going to buy the tickets and they're going to come because they know I'm going to put on a good show for them.
And then that's what it's all about. I've seen some comedy clubs, they'll put up people and I'm like, how do they get on stage? Like, I used to be a house MC at Bonkers, and I was just the host. So I was the host.
Okay.
For an entire weekend, and some of the features they would bring through, open mic status. I'm like, you know, they don't even have 5 minutes, but they had to do 20 minutes, and they had to do 3 or 4 shows, and it was a train wreck every time. So a few times I had to do more time up front. I even had a situation where I went up. It was the last show. The headliner was like, "Hey man, just do your thing. Go long if you want to." And I went for 20 minutes. Had the audience of stitches, and guess what? Here comes the feature behind me who shouldn't been featuring, and I was standing in the back of the comedy club, and this lady walked up to me, and she said, "Stroke all the way from such and such. If you don't get that guy off stage, we're leaving right now." And that's not how you keep people coming back to a comedy club.
I agree.
Hey, I've seen worse. I've at the ticket booth at the Punchline. I've actually had people walk up to the window and say, "Hey, who's opening tonight?" And I say, "Yeah, I'm not sure." And they'd be like, "It's not so-and-so, is it?"
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, how do you think these people who are not that, I'm not even saying great, they're not that good, get these opportunities? What do you think we're dealing with?
Well, sometimes I hear it's because they're safe. Like, you know, some headliners ask for a specific demographic on purpose. Like, I've heard of headliners going to a black club and be like, "I want a white woman to open for me."
For sure, I heard that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it's like a white woman is not going to step on any of your material, and maybe it's somebody you want to come make fun of. Maybe you got a ton of jokes about white women, and you want to put this white woman in front of the crowd and say, you know, hey, have it fresh in their mind. So when you come on, you murder it.
I've opened for comedians where they were like, "Hey, whatever you do, don't make any efforts to get the crowd rowdy. Just kind of keep them at an even tone if you can,"
yeah,
so that he could come out and smash it. So
in other words, the headliners just kind of want to be the show.
Some. There are others who really don't care. They say, "Hey, man, go out there, do your thing, be as funny as you can be."
Okay.
Because they have that confidence.
Yeah.
And they want a good show. They want the people that came to see them
to get
to have
complete
a good show.
Show
from front to back.
Okay.
But there are those comedians out there who they don't want you to be that funny.
Yeah, when I was at House MC, I would make it my business to, if we were doing 3 shows that weekend, every show I would do a different 10-minute.
Okay.
And so I had one comedian, we did the first show, went well, did the second show, went well, did another 10 minutes. The following day, we had to come back and do 2 more shows. That first show, I did a new 10 minutes. And it was a joke in there that I guess was similar to a joke he wanted to do. He lost his mind. Like, "I didn't hear you do that joke the other night, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, hey, I won't do it the second show. And then he kind of felt some kind of way. He's like, well, you know, you can do the joke, whatever. Because I gave him the look like, dude, you the headliner.
Right.
I'm just the host. What you mad about what I'm talking about?
There are a lot of comedians. There are a lot of comedians that are like that. I've actually had a comedian tell me, hey, don't do any jokes about this. Don't do any jokes about that.
Really?
Don't do any jokes about that. Yes. And then I've actually had, like, other comedians who wanted to do a guest spot.
Right.
And they say, hey, what kind of jokes does he tell? Because if he tells anything that's even close to internationally known.
Right, international headliners.
Yes.
If you're an international headliner, it don't matter what I talk about. You should be able to come in and crush it. And if I happen to kill a topic, just don't do the joke. I mean, if you're international, you should have the material. What standard show, the punchline was maybe 45 minutes to an hour.
Yes.
If you're international, you should have 2-3 hours. It shouldn't matter.
And I get where you're coming from. At the same time, it's their show. I've literally had... there was one comedian who came to the punchline. I won't say his name. But the intro that I did,
okay.
He didn't like the intro. Like, I wasn't hosting. I actually opened up the show over the mic and brought the MC on.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the process, I said, is everybody ready to have a great time? And, ah, yeah. He said, hey, when you do that, don't do that. I said, so I was just playing, because he's a comedian, right? So he's supposed to have a good sense of humor. I'm like, ah, these dang comedians.
Yeah.
Always, you know, how did he snapped on me.
Wow.
Snapped. We ended up becoming, by the end of the weekend, we were good.
Yeah.
But yeah, at that particular moment, oh, he had a real problem with me.
Don't say where my lady's at. That's my opener.
I think these headliners forget that they're the headliners, you know. I paid to come see this particular person. That's who, quote-unquote, people came to pack the house to see.
So
what difference what the other people do in front of me?
It's a crazy game. It's a crazy game. But they say that because somewhere they've been murdered at their show, and it was probably awkward for them, so...
I'm sure that happens. But, you know, people are different. There are so many different types of personalities in comedy, because you've got everybody from computer programmers to accountants to, you know, people who had nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
People who had nothing, them the ones that don't care, because they've been grinding to get what they
want. Right.
And they're just going to kill it anyway.
They're going to kill it anyway. This is a lot of pain and frustration and... sleeping in the car and whatever you had to do to get there. So those are comedians that usually don't care what you say. I say this. When I get to the point where I can come out on stage and say, you know what? I had a cheeseburger for lunch today, and the crowd fall out.
That's when you've made it.
That's when you know
it
happened.
Yeah, I've seen it happen too. It's like he didn't say nothing, and they are on the floor.
45 minutes of
nothing.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm not hating. I've seen a lot of comedy over 10 years. I've watched a lot of comedians. I know funny comedians. I'm just, hey, whatever they say, it's instant funny.
You know what? I kicked my dog in the tail today.
Well, do you think a lot of them, once they've made it to a certain point, they decide for themselves, you know what, I just go and do anything. Now, do they really lose some of that?
No, you know what it is, actually? And I've, like I said, again, there are so many types of comedians out there. You've got your comedian who was famous on television before they were actually a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
So they realized they had an opportunity to make money in stand-up comedy, because as a headliner, you can make a ridiculous amount of money. So they realized that, so they're like, okay, I need to come up with some comedy. They might pay some writers to come up with something, or they might come up with their own stuff, and it's just mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
But you have those people. And then you've got other comedians who have been grinding for a long time. One of my favorite comedians, Christopher Titus, comes up with a new 45 minutes every 6 months on point. He told me flat out, he said, you know, today's comedians are lazy because they don't write. He said, when I go out, I want to go out like, I'm drawing a blank here, George. Help me out. Last
name.
No, not George Lopez. Yes, George Carlin.
Okay.
He said, I want to have 21-hour specials under my belt.
Woo!
And every time I saw him, he'd come to the punchline, you know, once a year. And every time I saw him, he had a new set. So it was amazing. And then you've got your other comedians whose names I won't mention, but they've been doing the same set for 20 years.
You know, I got to agree with you on that one. I've heard some of those myself.
I'm not making this up. I'm talking about I saw a VHS of these comedians telling the same jokes I just saw them tell 5 months ago.
On stage.
So, you know, yeah.
And, you know, the beauty in that is if you can get a comedian can tell the same joke and still you laugh every time. A good joke is a good joke. So
a good joke is a good joke. But there's a difference between a good joke and just living out the life of a joke. Because the life of a joke is really long.
Yeah.
Knock, knock. Doesn't matter what I say after that.
Yeah,
it's an old joke.
True.
And it'll always be around.
Yes.
And it'll always work. You're right.
Material. I mean, what do you primarily talk about? What do you talk about? Stuff that's passionate. You're passionate about. Do you make up stuff? Do you talk about people?
I really don't talk about people. I'm talking about everyday life for the most part. I'm talking about family. A lot of stuff I talk about is black and white issues.
Yeah.
I talk about a lot of black and white issues, but I talk about everyday stuff. We live in it, we see it, and then of course I hit some of the highlights of what's going on out there in the world.
Yeah, it's everyday stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, like I said, I tell the truth.
Because you know, I talk about my wife on stage.
Okay.
And when I do that, man, it's crazy. I get bigger laughs than the jokes that I talk about other mundane stuff that, you know, I'm passionate about, but that family stuff, you can always do it anywhere, anytime, and get a good laugh.
And that's because, one, when you talk about your wife, I don't care how good the joke is, how bad the joke is, they see your passion.
Yeah.
And when they can connect with you, it evolves.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell when you really stretched hard to make up something. And it can be a good joke. But when you're talking about stuff that you're passionate about, meaning I really know what you're intimate with. You don't have to be passionate. You're intimate.
Yeah.
They can tell. The audience can tell. And they just jump on board.
Yeah. That's why you can say, I had a cheeseburger today. if you're fat and you got that, when you see a bead of sweat come down like that, that boy did have a cheeseburger today. And it was probably delicious and had extra onions. But, That's comedy for you. We're gonna take a break now. We did have a few callers. I was hoping they stay on the line so we can mess with them. But if you want to call into the show, the number is 607-203-5368. Make sure you press 1 if you want to talk so we can chop it up with you. You listen to the Keno Trice Show. We'll be back.
Drums, please. Summertime.
yet. Hustle to the mall to get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair. Cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more. Cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends, y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch. While the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime, hang out, it looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment fronting and maxing, chilling in the car, they spend all day waxing. Leaning to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Yes, and we are back in the building with Carla the Truth Youngblood out of Birmingham, Alabama, representing Buh-Buh.
I don't know if I like the sound of that.
Booyaka, booyaka.
All right now, all right.
We're getting hot and heavy in the studio. In the news recently, we were talking about it on the break. In Napa Valley, California, there was a wine train that is becoming infamous in news internationally, where 11 black women that were part of a book club were taking the train, having a good time, you know, partying like the sisters do, and they were kicked off the train for laughing too loud. And it made it to national news, and so they were saying they felt like they were. And when I first heard it, I was like, well, you get some sisters together and you get some wine flowing. It might be something to it, but as the story came out and there were other people on the train that said it wasn't such a big deal, can't help but think that the race card did show its evil head. Joseph has this crazy look on his face, or JoJo, I should say. He looks like Joseph now. Like.
No, it's just, you know, I don't know the story. I'm just now hearing about the story. But I'll just say this for now. There's a club in Atlanta. It's a jazz club. And two nights a month, they have what I like to refer to as white night. the rest of the month, it's mostly a black crowd. Yeah. And when you go in on a regular night, it's very loud. When you go in on white night, you hear music plays.
Wow. So, I mean, I'll say this. I saw pictures of the ladies. They looked polished. They didn't look like anything hood about them. And doing some further investigation, it's how they kind of do it in Napa. They've been doing it in Napa a long time. Like, I heard the population of something like 76,000 in Napa Valley as the entire city, and there's like only 400 black people. So Napa's not used to us.
Well, you know, whether they're used to us or not, do we really think those ladies were that big of a disturbance?
No.
And I've won somebody's opinion for them to cause ruckus and have them to put off the train.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that they did escort them all.
And it was one woman who complained, one woman. And they showed a picture of her, and she looked like if she was married to anybody, she could have been married to a Grand Dragon.
Okay. That explains it.
Yeah. She looked, you know, she was a middle-aged woman, looked a little snooty, and when I saw the picture of her, she had this scowl look on her face. Like, she was just, how did these Negroes even afford to get on this train?
You know, and that was most of the problem, I'm sure. How did they get to get here? Because a lot of times they think we one of the luxuries that they enjoy.
Right. Yeah, I will say this. When it comes to race, I think we, as a people, black people, we have a tendency to be a little overly sensitive, and sometimes it is race. Sometimes it's not race. Now, as for these women, I don't know what the scene was like, but what I would like to know is how long they were actually on the train. Because if they were on the train 45 minutes into the trip before they got kicked off, then maybe somebody tolerated some things. Now, if they were on for 5 minutes, those women are too loud.
Yeah, yeah.
You might be on to something.
They did really say, oh, or maybe I didn't read it in its entirety, but I heard that the CEO of the train station, whatever the company, he came out and apologized, and he wants to have the women back to do it the right way. And they did give them their money back. There's been a lot of situations they kick you out. You ain't getting nothing back. So.
It's just time to go.
Yeah, I kind of felt like for them to give them a full refund, they kind of...
There was also something to it.
Yeah, there was something to it. And one of the employees had posted some on social media kind of, you know, it was a lightweight jab at the ladies about, you know, we try to accommodate all our passengers, and if there's people getting too rowdy, you know, and I'm paraphrasing,
right?
We've had it handled. You know, this happens, you know, every so often where we will have to get the police involved and get them off the train. So
I don't know about the money back thing. I don't know if that's such a big deal. And the only reason I say that is because I worked at a company, and we kicked plenty old people out of that club because
right.
they were too loud.
Right.
But we still gave them their money back.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, really? See, I didn't know they give money back
when
they put them out of the company clubs.
We have done that.
Okay.
You just got kicked out. You got to pay your food bill, but we'll give you your money back for the show. Just get out of the club.
Well, you ain't getting nothing back.
You just got to go.
You got to go. So I kind of took that. I mean, I look at all the details. You know, I'm very observant, so... When I was looking at the details of the incident, they gave him the money back. He wants to have them back. That's kind of admitting guilt. It's almost like settling out of court. You know, I'm not admitting guilt, but I'm going to go ahead and pay you.
But I'm going to make everything better.
Yeah, so.
But if I don't feel I need to make anything better, I won't.
Yeah.
Or,
but
I'm
got
just because of this publicity.
Well, it's everything, several angles to it, because now we have this thing called social media,
and
it'll make you or break you.
Yeah, you don't know how many Facebook friends those ladies have.
Exactly.
Well, they had enough. They had enough. I heard that people were, my wife just told me this, that people were actually going on Yelp and giving them bad reviews. And some of these people hadn't even been on the train.
Yeah.
But it was such a, you know, it caused such an uproar in the community. And it was, at the time, there was a lot of white people on the side of the women. Kind of, you know, smell from in the air.
They didn't say anything at the time.
Yeah.
Once the ladies were off the train, that was wrong.
I can speak on it.
Yeah,
right.
I can speak on it. So, shout out to them ladies, man. I hope they
sue.
They need to get a few dollars. You know, we couldn't get our 40 acres in a mule, but we can get a Marc Jacobs purse next Christmas.
At least. But, you know, you made a valid point there when you said, one, we have to look at we as blacks, what impact do we have on certain issues when they take place. You know, we all, a lot of times, we quick to jump and say they, but we don't look at what impact we had on certain situations.
And we play a part. We play a significant part in a lot of situations that we're involved in. That's why we're involved in
that. Exactly. I have to agree.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's just that sometimes they ain't gonna like you. They don't want you on the train. Them eyes cut. And you know what? What's crazy about it? It doesn't happen so much now, but I've actually remember walking in establishments where, you know, I'm the only man of color, and people look and they stare. And when you're just one and there are many, they'll keep staring.
You know what?
Damn, I got something on my nose.
You know why it doesn't happen so much now?
Why's that?
Because you're in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Well, shoot, it won't be too much longer down in Atlanta, boy. The gentrification is hitting hard here. I own some rental property in Decatur, Atlanta, for the people who know anything about Atlanta. Decatur is a suburb outside Atlanta. And this house I own, I'm getting fixed up to rent out. And within a 5-mile radius of this house, they're doing a lot of, improvements. They're fixing the highway, they're widening the roads, they're putting nice concrete on the sidewalks, light poles. And unfortunately, they don't do that for black people. And the value of the house literally went up $20,000 in 3 months once they started construction.
Mm-hmm.
So, black Atlanta.
It's changing.
Yeah, it's changing. And I would go as far as to say, I think we've seen our last black mayor.
You think so?
I don't think so.
I think so.
I disagree with you.
I think so. Well,
but I understand what you're saying, because I thought about painting my mailbox pink just to get some more gays in there. Exactly.
All right, you might get somebody knocking on your door. Hey,
man. I need to give you some sugar.
You want
to borrow
some sugar? Not that kind of sugar.
See, this is why I can't talk.
A lot of what you would call projects and lower income housing, and East Lake has a golf course in it now, and it's coming
wild
right through there, going down to the city. So yeah, it's happening. Like I said, $20,000, $30,000 in a few. I happened to go out to lunch with a guy who I'm not gonna say his name because he's coming on my show in a few weeks. Yeah, I'll say his name, Ernest the Cat Miller. He'll be on my show in a few weeks. He's a former WWE wrestler. So
okay.
I had lunch with him, and he hangs out with some ballers. And this one guy we had lunch with, he was actually a commercial real estate broker, I think. And he told me that the area that I own the house in, he said, you will not recognize it in the next 5 years.
Wow.
And just so happened that day when I left lunch with them, I rode through the area, and I saw the beginnings of construction. They started knocking down buildings. I was like, wow, he was right. And unfortunately, it's a lower income black neighborhood, so they're about to get pushed out. They're putting what you call an economic bomb. And an economic bomb is if you go into a hood, a low income area, and you drop $1 million condos, guess what's going to happen? Everything around it,
the price
is going to go up.
Taxes go up.
Everything. Everything. So I don't know if black people are looking for the KKK to come down the street. People calling them N-words. They don't have to do that no more. They just price you out. They don't need no guns. They don't need police brutality. They just price you out.
And that's going on all throughout Atlanta, because there are that Beltline. A lot of people are banking on that Beltline. You look around the Beltline of Atlanta, the neighborhoods are transforming considerably,
yes,
to where what's really a $50,000, $60,000 house is now going to cost you $120,000 just to fix up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just to buy so you can fix it up.
And I encourage anybody, like I've been looking to get additional properties, and I encourage anybody in Atlanta, there are certain areas I've been looking at to try to get homes. Me and my wife, about 3 months ago, we spent a Saturday afternoon, and we rode through a bunch of neighborhoods, and we wrote down houses that looked abandoned,
okay,
and up for sale or whatever. I had a list. We saw about 15 houses that day. When we finally came home, went through the list, looked up the properties, only one was available.
Really?
One. Yep. And we only looked at these properties about 2 weeks later, like 2-3 weeks later. That's how fast investors are coming through and buying up these properties.
Changing the game.
It's coming. It's coming.
A year and a half ago, I was house hunting. I found a house where on the ad, they said, this house is full of asbestos. You think I could get that house? No, I could not get that house.
What?
Yeah. No.
But somebody is going to come through and they're going to buy it because if, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, sometimes our community, we don't do our due diligence in looking at what's going on. So people with the foresight and do their due diligence, they know what's coming to a neighborhood before they move into it. So that's why there's always going to be that white person that move in the black neighborhood, and you be like, oh, he crazy. Why are you going to move in here? No, because he knows something you don't.
Hey, I have to differ with you on that one. Because, again, I was house hunting.
That's you.
About a year. No, hold on.
Yeah.
I was house hunting about a year and a half ago, and I rode into this neighborhood where if it was dark, I'd have to have, you know, a couple of pieces of protection on me. And this brother walked up to me and said, hey, man, you looking at that house over there? I said, yeah. He said, oh, man, that's a gold mine right there. Now, I knew, based on my conversation with this man, that he had been in the house. I knew it. So I went back and looked at the house, and as I walked around the house, I realized, oh, there's a little window where people can slide it up and walk on in.
Wow.
So that's what I did. And this house was torn up, but as he was talking to me, he's like, hey, man, you need to buy that house. You need to buy the house because they are buying everything around here. They about to take over. So people know there's just nothing they can do about it.
Nothing to do about it.
They don't know how to, okay, right. They don't know how to know what to do about it. Now, I agree with that because the same thing is happening in Birmingham, our downtown area.
Yeah.
It's changing so fast.
Yeah.
It's changing.
In the area where the Civic Center is in Birmingham, me and JoJo have a partner down there that he's bought up a lot of lots.
Okay.
And he's just waiting. It just actually, the development slowed down a little bit in Birmingham since they built the West End and a few things around it. It's going slow, but it's coming. So he's banking on
it. It slowed down on that end where he is in the center of downtown there. It's like they made a shift.
Uh-huh.
We've got about 6 big large buildings with construction going on right now.
It's
downtown.
Funny you brought him up because he has actually had to fight the city for property that he owned.
Yeah.
Wow.
They were trying to take it over. That's how much he owns enough property. They were like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
This man owning all that property.
Yeah, he had told me that an FBI agent came down from Detroit.
Okay.
To try to take one of his properties from him. They said that the previous owner was a drug dealer, had been involved in some shady dealings, and that he shouldn't have been able to acquire the property. But luckily, brother's on top of it. He had all his paperwork in order, and he acquired the property fair and square and legal, and sent the FBI agent back to Detroit. But that's how deep the game is. Like, somebody from Detroit already got their eye on
what's going on
in Birmingham.
Wow.
As if property wasn't cheap enough in
Detroit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's that due diligence, and that's what, like, I wish my people can get on top of that thing. Well, I'm representing the people. I'm on top of it. I'm trying to get some things going on. You know, Keno Trice, if this show don't pop off, you know what I'm saying, the brother going to own some stuff.
Get something going on.
Yeah, get something going on. So, like I said, back to Atlanta. Like, I think Atlanta, the home of Freaknik and the strip clubs and all that, it won't be a chocolate city too much longer. So,
it'll just be a different chocolate city. Because there are a lot of black people down here who have money and can afford to be in the city.
Yeah.
And as Atlanta becomes, Atlanta is the New York of the South. At least that's what I've heard. More black people are continuing to move here. So.
Yeah, but they're going to get priced out. I mean, with the new Hollywood coming and all that, I mean, just around here, I'm driving through neighborhoods and they're building new houses. Starting at the high fives. They put high fives on the sign.
High fives.
There's a big hand. There's a big hand on the sign.
I mean, for real.
And looking at the construction of the house, it's not brick. These are like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. But that's...
Pricing them out.
Yeah, pricing them out. So my people need to get it together, man. Stop killing each other and all that dumb stuff. Stop rapping. If I see another 40-year-old rapper at the gas station trying to get a mixtape...
You got the mixtape?
No, I don't have a mixtape.
Well, you ain't no rapper then. You ain't rapping. You're not rapping.
I'm sending people back right now. Mixtape. I done heard every rap. I can't
make it. You can't make it without a mixtape.
I think some of the pastors, I'm in the church. Hey, after service, give a mixtape out.
You can get it for $5.99.
Yeah, the Lord. look, let's take a caller, man. I see a caller. I'm sorry, caller. You followed instructions. You pressed one. So we're gonna put you on the line. Hold on one second. See how we do it. Caller, you're on the Keno Trice Show. I can't see your number, but I hear your TV in the background.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
This mic working. The mic working?
Yeah, it's working. It's on. Who we talking to?
I'm the man. I'm calling from Las Vegas.
Sounds like
I'm calling from I'm calling from Las Vegas, Alabama.
Las Vegas, Alabama. Oh, that's why we can't see the number, because you're made it up.
Sound like you got mixed emotions.
I have a question.
What's up?
I would like to know, what is the worst pickup line that each one of you have ever heard?
The worst pickup line. That's tricky, because I actually have some I've been working on. Hey, you're going to have to give me a minute on that. Well, let's hear it from you first, Kino, because I got to think. I got to choose which one. Yeah.
I don't know. I've been out of the game so long. Carla, tell us the worst pickup line you've
heard. Okay, let's see. What's the worst pickup line I've heard? Let's see.
Dang, you stopped him, brother, with that.
Exactly. You did, because I guess I've heard so much garbage. I'm trying to figure out what's the worst piece I've heard. But I guess one of the things that is not so much the worst in general, but it's the worst for me. When a guy come up to you, what's up, mama? He started with your mama. He started the conversation all wrong. Because if you want me to be your mama, we got issues.
He's looking for a mama. Maybe he didn't have his mama growing up.
I don't care. I'm not going to be mama.
Or maybe he wants to make you a mama.
I'm not in the mama. I don't want to be your mama. I don't want to be your mama. I'm not in the mama. Don't walk up to women talking about, what's up, mama.
This used to be my favorite back in the day. You can, most people call me JoJo, but you can call me Marion Barry because I'll get in your crack.
Wow.
Woo.
Wow. All right, the views you heard here today are not necessarily the views expressed of the Keno. Get in your crack. All right.
Most people call me JoJo, but you can call me Bidet because, well, you know.
See, Carla, see what you did from Las Vegas, Alabama. See what you did? The man. That's what he called himself, the man. I got a feeling that this is JoJo's relative. That is a JoJo statement. Kim Bro.
You know what? He sounds like Kim
Bro. But thanks for calling, man. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're at the welfare office or whatever, but
good luck down there.
Good talk, Jim. Uh-oh. Yeah, thanks for calling. I don't know what he's saying. But, Marion Barry, because I get in your crack.
Hey.
Y'all, as soon as this is over, I am running from JoJo. Running! I mean, Lyft is going to be taken off before it's over.
Hey, I keep a lot of women saying. Because they stay running.
After that, we're going to take a little break, man. If you want to call in and talk to JoJo and ask me for another crazy-ass pickup line, number is 607-203-5368. Make sure you press 1. You are listening to the Keno Trice Show.
Something. So.
Yes, we are back. The Keno Tri Show, man. We talk about a lot during the break. We ain't gonna bring up no names while the show on, but recently during one of the breaks, we were talking about dealing with shady people when you have business dealings, and how how some people you like, they tell you from the get, like, I don't think I'm a fool with you. And I'll start off by saying that I do have a rental property that I'm working on, and no offense, white folks, if you're listening, but, you know, I try to spend money with black people, and sometimes
it's hard.
They make it hard. I've gone from people who I get them there to do some work, and we agree on the price, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, I had to do this, this, and that. You need to give me some more money. Well, that's not what we agreed on. Exactly. You should be able to come in and professionally assess the work and tell me what you're going to charge. I have no problem paying you, but if we agree on something, don't come back and ask me for an extra $100, $200 because you didn't see something. That's not my problem.
They want a tip.
Yeah, right.
You are not in a tip profession.
So there's been situations where I needed some heavy work done that I couldn't do. I needed a skilled person to do certain work. Call somebody, get a number, wait, no call back, call them again, no call back. I contracted out somebody else. I get a call back a week later. Yeah, so what's up? Ain't nothing up, man. I called you last week.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That's why I do everything for myself, by myself. I don't care if it's painting, electrical, plumbing, robbing. I do.
Well, I have to agree with you there. Just last week, I was out riding around, and I just happened to stop and look at this building. Now, I'm looking at the building, didn't have a number, so I got on the internet, dialed a number. Some brother answered the phone, leave a message. I said, okay, 30 minutes, an hour. This is real estate. You're supposed to be in the business.
Right.
Okay, give you 2 hours. They've been on a meeting. So I said, let me just get on online and find the people who actually got the property listed. These people called me back within 10, 15 minutes. Do I need to come meet you? They ready.
Yeah, yeah.
They ready. And then we want to say, y'all don't want to do business with one another. Well, you make it hard, folks.
Yeah, you make it hard. Make it hard. Especially with modern technology. If I call you on Tuesday, I'll give you till Wednesday, maybe even Thursday. But we can pick up these phones anywhere in the world just about. So. Whatever you got going on, just text me back and say, hey, brother, I got your message. I'm right now. I hit you back. Had that brother did that, I'd have waited on him.
Exactly.
But you just don't say nothing. And then you call me. And then when I tell you I gave it to somebody else, you got an attitude.
You know, we've also gotten really well seated in this society. And our society, America, not just blacks, but America, is a very entitled society.
Okay.
And as blacks, we've gotten really seated in that. I've heard stories of people say, oh, well, you should just patronize me because I'm black, even if my prices are higher.
Wow.
So, you know, it's
now,
an interesting place.
I might piss some people off when I say this, but and we talked about this the other day. I hate when I ride through the black neighborhoods and they have their children on the corner, and I call it begging for money for their sports programs.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I call it begging because if you ride through any other areas, and I'm not trying to compare our race to any other, but you see kids out washing cars, you see them out providing a service, but if you have your children on the corner begging for money for their football team, what is that teaching them?
It's teaching them how to beg.
Teaching them
how
to beg.
How to ask for what they need instead of how to earn,
yeah.
How to earn what they need.
Why couldn't you go somewhere, set up a car wash? If I'm riding through the neighborhood and I see a football team, they out washing cars, you know what? I'm going to pull over. I know they probably ain't going to do a good car wash, but I'm going to pay them, and I'm probably going to overpay them because you're teaching the children something. But when you got them standing on the corner, and they half-ass got the uniform on anyway. Like, what team you play for? Ain't all y'all, nobody got a jersey? What?
Everybody got on different colors.
Yeah. So we got to get better.
I had the same conversation with my cousin 2 days ago, Greg. He,
yes.
he, you know, He used to play football, so he told me, he said, you know, because I asked him, I said, did you do this? Because he's like, no, we had to earn our money to play our sports. And if I was running a football team, I would get fired before I allowed my players to sit there and beg for what they need as opposed to earning what they need.
Right.
And that's how it should be across the board. But a lot of people think it's okay.
My child would not be out there. I would encourage them, even if you got to come to my house and do the car wash, let's teach them something. So, yeah, get it together, people. Get it together. We're creating a begging class, and I'm kind of disgusted a little bit, but I'm off my soapbox.
Is there class when it's begging?
Huh?
Is there class when it's begging?
That's debatable. I mean, it's a class of people, class of... Yeah.
You know, bottom line, it's as if let's teach them something. In other words, just teach them how to fish.
Yeah, teach them how to fish.
Teach them how to fish and they can just go and eat all day.
Yeah, because whether you like it or not, this is a capitalistic society. And
you know what?
And that will not
change. I have to disagree because there are no lakes.
There's no what?
Lakes in Atlanta.
No lakes.
No lakes.
Oh, no lakes.
Teach them how to fish.
No lakes in Atlanta. Yes, it is. Lake Lanier. You just might get hit. There's lakes in Atlanta. You might put your life. Lake Lanier is a death ground.
If there's water in it.
Yeah.
If there's water, they're going to jump in.
Yeah, because actually Usher's stepson was killed at Lake Lanier. Well, he didn't die from, but he died as a result of his injuries of getting hit.
Oh, from being down this way it was.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lake Lanier is dangerous. I haven't been yet. I got a white friend with a boat who keeps inviting me out. I just want to make sure.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Right.
Why
you got
not?
Chains
That's why
on the
you
boat.
Have white friend.
Exactly.
What's
Take
the name of the boat?
Trip.
Is it the Mayflower? Is it a slave ship?
See, maybe they're going to take you somewhere. You better walk.
Right.
You better
That's
walk.
How we got caught up.
Yeah, right.
He you talking about don't go. And I'm like, shoot, he's got a boat.
Right.
All right, go ahead.
And 400 years later.
Exactly. Exactly. So don't want to do that. No.
That's why black people still don't own boats. Eh? We get a jet ski first, but we ain't getting no boat. You know any black people with boats?
I don't know many black folks that engage in water activities. Let's keep it real. Most of us don't even take baths. We take showers.
My
yeah,
grandfather
gonna drown.
Had a boat.
Oh, he had a boat?
Yeah, my grandfather had a boat.
What
my uncle's got a boat.
What, he had one of them 15-footers?
He had a 16-footer.
16-footer, okay.
Yeah, he had
okay.
a 16-footer.
And then that's a different generation.
He told me before I could drive it, I had to read the manual for the class that he was taking to drive the boat.
It's a different class.
Yeah, we were the only black people in our family.
You know, I'm going to tell a story. So me and JoJo went to Pensacola, Florida with a white friend of ours. And I think the boat he had was only a 16-footer. So we get out on the water. We're kind of in a bay. We're not really in the ocean. We're in a bay in Pensacola. And so we get out there. We start fishing. And they just riding like... I'm seeing the land get farther and farther away. I'm like, wait a minute. We got three grown-ass men on a boat that ain't that big. I think it was 15, 16 feet.
And it was a rowboat with a motor at the
Yeah,
back.
With a little trolling motor.
Yeah.
So then these dudes talk about, well, let's fish for shark and start cutting some of the fish we caught to put on. I was like, hey, man, y'all can take me back to A. No, sir. And I end up catching some. It was the night... was starting to come, and I caught some, and so I'm trying to reel it in, and this thing jumps out of the water. I was like, hell no. And I think I passed my fishing. Hey, I'm done. This it's all the fun I need.
Okay.
I am not grabbing. Yeah. And ironically, the fish that I caught a ladyfish.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it was called a ladyfish. It was huge. It was long. It was. I was like, nah, I don't touch fish.
Did you save him, JoJo?
Hey, I grew up a fisherman. So.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you can handle it for him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't touch fish. I'll take that off the hook. I brought him in. I've done my job. Not touching him.
You're like my dad.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with my dad last week. He said I don't bank fish.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
like, let's go fishing, Dad. I don't bank fish. I don't fish from the bank. Well, you don't have a boat. Okay, then I don't fish. right, Dad.
Did you get that?
No.
Did you get that?
I'm straight on that. Actually, I went on a fishing trip last year to, I think I went back to Pensacola. And we were going to pay a charter. Like, he had a real boat. Like, okay. I wasn't getting on that little, I don't know what that was. That was some cardboard with a motor on it. I don't know what that thing was. But unfortunately, the day we had chartered the boat, the water was too rough, and we couldn't go out. So we couldn't reschedule it. But we got on them jet skis, though. We got it in.
Oh, okay. Well, you got it in that way.
And we were one of my homeboys was trailing me. And then I just hear him yell my name. I was like, what? And I turned around. He was like, you didn't see that? I was like, see what? He was like, a dolphin jumped up between us. I was like, yeah, let's take it on back in.
It is still time.
Yeah, it's taking on back in. I ain't out here fooling with Flipper.
this is why all black people should have white friends. This is why, because if you have white friends, especially at a young age, you get to do things that you wouldn't normally be exposed to.
Yeah, black people don't want to do nothing.
I rollerbladed, water ski, jet ski, snow ski, any kind of ski, you know, hey.
You got it in you.
Exactly.
Now, hanging with Jerome, what he want to do? Go to the club and park a lot pimp, sip on this Hennessy.
Hey, I passed a place today in my neighborhood. I was looking in my rear view because I thought it was a laundromat and I wanted to see the name of it. I kid you not, it said Hood Mart. That's the name of the store.
No.
Hood Mart. I kid you not.
Well.
Reasons to live in the hood. You can't go to Hood Mart if you don't live in the hood.
Now, that's the truth. I mean, okay, Hood Mart.
Yes, Hood Mart.
They sell every flavor blunt known to man. You can get collard green blunts at Hood Mart.
Nickels nine, Cokes and dimes.
Watermelon blunts, grape blunts. Red blunts.
Go in there and ask for a Coke. It doesn't have your name on it.
Right.
Yeah, they can't put Daquan on a Coke.
Yes, sir, hot dogs come with a line on them.
All right, we're getting out of control on the keto train. Well, we gotta wrap it up. Man, thanks for coming on, Carla. I'm glad you were in town. I'm glad that you came through to do the show, man. We're going to have to get down to Birmingham and chop it up with you.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate
it. So tell us again what's going on with your show in Birmingham so the Birmingham listeners can know where to find you and where to support you.
Okay. They know to come and check me out at the Ha Hilarious Comedy Show, and they can find me at keepyoulaughing.com. And also up there you will see the information about the film that's coming out Sunday at Sidewalk Film Festival called The Truth Up and Coming.
Oh, yeah, the film. Yeah.
Friend of mine, Sonya Sam Mitchell, the director and producer of the film. So it's going to be an interesting film about me transitioning from accounting to comedy.
Oh, okay. So it's based on you.
Yeah,
it's
based on me.
Okay.
So it's going to be an interesting film.
So it's keepyoulaughing.com, your website?
Keepyoulaughing.com is my website.
Okay. Keep you laughing, not keep ya.
Keep
you.
Oh, I should have said ya. My bad.
No,
keep you laughing.
Keepyoulaughing.com. Okay.
Yeah.
So make sure y'all go to keepyoulaughing.com, man. Carla is down in Birmingham doing it big. Like I said, I went down there and did a show, had a bunch of fun, and she packs it out. So she has a nice following down in Birmingham. And Birmingham people, I love the city. I love the town. So. Jojo shaking his head like.
I'm yearning for the foot wash, but more so I've been yearning for that moonshine.
When you come back, I'm going to get you some moonshine.
Yeah. All right, I want the perfectly clear, not the murky.
Yeah, I'm going to get you the clear cat.
Not the stuff that looks like apple juice. I want that.
You want the stuff to smell like hot bread, sourdough.
Exactly.
All right, for sure.
You want to smell like he walked into a bakery. That's I want the moonshine to smell like cake. But cool, man. We're here every Tuesday, 8 o'clock. Here at the Keno Tri Show. The number is always 607-203-5368. You can follow me on social media. It's Keno Trice everywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just Google me, man. Just Google me. I'm there. I'll come up. It feels good to say that. Google me, bitch. You know who I am.
Don't Google me. I'm tired of my name coming up in the top rank.
But, yeah, Keno Trice, man, I'm everywhere. I got big plans coming up. I'm working on getting a comedy room of my own so I can come and say my thing. So I'm working on getting a comedy room. Stay tuned. If I get a room, you know I'm going to have the biggest, best talent coming through Atlanta. I'm kind of connected now at this point. So don't mean to brag, but it's just what it is. So
it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. So if you see it pop up and I got a room, come through. It's going to be a good time. I'm always going to have people coming through there knocking heads off on the mic. So go out there, man. Have a great week. Enjoy. We coming up on Labor Day in a few weeks. So can't wear white no more, ladies. Can't wear white. Put it up. Don't be white nothing. Right.
I'm not even going.
Next week, I got Hank Denson in the building. Hank Denson, he's on Barbershop 3. He's on Bravo TV. I forgot what show on Bravo, but he'll tell you all about it next week. So.
Hank. I love Hank.
Yes.
Hank actually did, you know, I had him for a private show, and he freaking killed it.
Yeah, Hank, you definitely want to come check Hank out. Matter of fact, he told me he did like 130 shows he hosted in 3 years at the Punchline. So if you've been to the Punchline recently, Hank, great opener. He rocks the mic, so he'll be here with us next week. So make sure you come check us out. Go out and have a good week, man. Be productive. Don't be lazy. Don't hurt nobody. Don't make nobody mad. And don't make no babies. And until next time, you listen to the Keno Trice Show. We'll holler at you. Peace.
Did I say freaking?
I think you said.